about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
To improve your reception of our signal on the long wave band, you could simply try lifting your radio set and turning it around a little bit to either the left or the right. Regular broadcasts will begin soon.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
The United States government just asked us to save the world.
United States government just asked us to save the world.
For years.
Bruce ad-libbed that line and Michael went, that's going to be in the preview. And lo and behold, it was.
United States government just asked us to save the world.
Bruce liked to say the phrase the United States of America. That's the only time it ever got included in the film. Just because I think, you know, what other America really are you talking about? I mean, to say the full name seems a little bit extraneous.
And now,
everybody is very psyched. You know who else is psyched? I'll give you a hint. They have four thumbs and they are these two guys.
I am very excited.
I am giddy.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Monday morning, the 25th of November.
Hello.
Allie's on vacation. Hello, Jensen.
Mm-hmm.
Hello. Michael Schneider.
Michael Schneider, guys.
Hey, it's Hot Carl and the Night Rocker.
Oh, no.
Featuring me.
It's a pretty good name.
Yeah.
I don't hate it.
I'm writing it down.
Is it too late? That's my suggestion for the name
no,
in the new year.
We're still taking, we're taking suggestions.
Hot Carl and the Night Rocker featuring Allie McKay.
All right. I mean, she should get a nickname as well.
We'll work on that. Yeah, exactly.
So she's off this week. Michael Schneider is filling in for today. You're going to be the Allie.
Yes, R.I.P. Allie.
Yes. I don't think she's dead yet.
Okay.
No, just be.
No.
But also you're going to do what's happening for us all day long.
I got some news. I got some scoop for you guys.
Very
so
excited.
Looking forward to it.
You even watch the American Music Awards.
I the things I do for you guys.
You would have watched that anyway. In your gig, you would have watched that anyway, right?
Possibly, yeah. But I actually watched probably the whole thing, whereas maybe ooh, I would have just watched clips before. So
oh, no, the I way to thoughts, watch that show is to Instagram watch it.
Yeah,
whatever they put up on Instagram.
I'm even saying Twitter, maybe. Just
yeah,
run a quick check to see who wrote something about it.
No, I watched that whole damn thing.
Wow.
So and that's
and to have a pro to do yeah, what's happening. I mean, Allie is a pro as well, but to have someone who, your title's actually senior editor of Variety, correct?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, don't go that far with pro.
Well, you went to America, you watched the AMAs.
Yeah.
I mean, that's enough for me.
Professional, look it up in the book.
By the way, your badge. We'll be able to play some highlights of the professional, mm-hmm, who used to go by the name Dr. Mike.
Yes.
Yeah, I opened this up. I only have myself to blame.
You were kind enough to send us a link to an air check of you as Dr. Mike.
It appears what we didn't know is that he was a full-on pop radio personality in Hawaii.
Well, one time, I was a guest DJ.
Okay.
I was 17.
What?
I had dreams.
You were so much better than I was. Wow, really?
I had dreams of being a hot jock on a flame-throwing radio station, but
did you come up with Dr. Mike yourself?
I did.
Nice.
Because, again, I was a kid.
Sure.
And honestly, I
knew Dr. Mike, you said at one point, I think you said, and we're going to hear this later, doing surgery till 11.
Yeah.
Doing office hours.
Hey, let's save the gold for later.
Right, we've got plenty.
Listen. And I want to reassess. You did it one time. This is the one time you did it.
I did a couple.
Okay. All
yeah,
right. All
I
right,
did.
Well, Dr. Mike, baby.
And just to further the ridicule, I actually did do it on my own as well at home. I had my own
at home
imaginary radio station.
And where's that?
It's on this USB that I brought in.
Wow.
Right here
because such good
I'm a
news,
giver.
Okay.
It's the holiday season. I'm a giver.
Well, it's a mess, so I'm excited to get into it with you.
All right. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we? We have Bob Michael Schneider here. He's filling in for Allie McKay. We have great news because it's Monday. We have Dr. Mike, like we told you.
Mm-hmm.
Things you learned from television.
Oh, that's timely.
Yeah. Dave, the King of Mexico, says he's learned everything he knows from television.
Which is so insane to
which
me,
is insane because, as Jensen points out, nothing's really vetted that way.
Mm-mm.
But it explains a lot, I think, about
yes,
Dave.
Yes, it does.
Yes.
Yeah.
Tells you the whole story.
He'll explain every single thing that he's learned and from what TV show and why and how.
So what show said that you don't use windshield wipers?
That's a good question.
I can't wait to hear. Was that an ALF episode? Or
what show told you that AIDS has been cured? There's a couple of these.
Yeah. We tried to tell him about fiction, but he didn't understand. Yeah. We also have Jen and Cody coming in studio for a recap of Week 12 of the NFL.
Yep.
And we're going to talk to Eddie Yift a little bit later on this
morning. Oh, boy. I have so many questions.
Same. The dude finished the race.
He did, and he did it almost alone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Everyone dropped out along the way.
And did he do it within 24 hours? That was his goal, right?
He did.
What was it, like
18, 19? Yeah.
Wow. 68 miles.
Yes.
68 miles.
And almost everybody else dropped out, and he kept going.
Yeah, yeah.
He's dead now, but it was a great run.
During the weekend, we emailed back and forth stories and stuff, and we talked about Eddie. And then Michael, who was on our email chain for the first time, wrote back, I walked 19.
I did, almost 20 this weekend. So I
want to get into that.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Why did you walk 20 this weekend?
Nope. Save it for the segment.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
For the other segment?
Yeah, I like it. We'll talk about it at 9.
Yeah, yeah.
I want to hear.
And I'll tell you about the song that was in my head for the entire 8 hours.
Sounds
20 miles.
Well, that I can hear now. What song is stuck in your head for 8 hours?
I assume that you're blaming us for something.
Yeah, I am going to blame you for something. Okay. So 20 miles all day from 9 to 5, and as I'm pacing down, you know, trying to clear my thoughts, think about the world, you know, this is a chance to really sort of, you know, look around, see nature, see the city, and really be at peace with myself. But instead, the entire time, as I'm walking, bum, 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 my cousin Tim.
There we go.
And he don't eat fiber.
There we go. Best song ever.
It's a good jam.
Yeah.
All right. So we got all that coming for you. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back with what's happening. 106.7 K-Rock.
No. Keep going.
I'm sorry. I thought it was done.
Live through it.
Wow.
Walk through it.
Wow. That's the way to start. That's Cage the Elephant. It's called Social Cues on the Kevin and Bean Show. Of course, they are playing night number one of the K-Rock Absolute Almost Acoustic Christmas.
That's right.
Allie is on vacation today. Michael Schneider, the senior editor at Variety, is filling in for her right now with what's happening.
R.I.P. Allie.
Yes.
We will miss her.
No, she's still alive.
She's still around.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. So it is Monday.
Yes.
So we talked box office. Anyone see a movie this weekend?
I did not.
I did.
You did? Ooh. What'd you see?
I saw two, and I want to ask a question about one. Parasite.
Okay. Which is my favorite movie of the year.
Is that in the top five at all?
It's definitely in the conversation. Okay. People are talking about it.
How long do we have to wait to talk about it? Is it mainstream...
Let's not.
That's what I'm asking.
There are actual words at the bottom of the screen, right?
Yeah. You do have to read it. You have to read the movie.
And you did it.
I read it. I didn't know that I had to read it.
Yeah. Let's not gloss over that.
I did read it.
Okay.
and you still liked it.
I did still like it.
Are you saying how long can you talk about it because it's kind of a spoiler?
Yeah.
No one has really seen it yet. When Best Picture is announced, and it's obviously going to be in it, I think it will pick up. So I don't know if it's not safe.
For a while.
You're right. I don't know if it's safe for you to say
something. No, definitely don't spoil it yet.
But did you love it?
I loved it.
Great.
I'm just going to leave it there. That's why I wanted to ask if we can talk about it, because there's so many things to talk about.
It's too early. But I think it is... At least as of now, it is the best movie of the year. It is. It's like art, man. It's great. I've talked about it on the show before.
It's crazy.
Just very good.
Yeah. Now, Jensen Adler's too young to have
to go to Parasite.
Go to Parasite. Yes, definitely not Parasite.
I'd have to really explain class ethics and stuff like that, and the difference between rich and poor. It would be rough. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But weirdly, he can read the subtitles.
Oh yeah, he loves it.
He is a genius.
He speaks Korean.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. He doesn't need the subtitles. Yeah. He can actually not look at them. He can face the back of the theater. He gets it.
Go to Koreatown Theater and not actually even have to worry
about
that.
Yeah, he gets it.
But you did not take him to see Frozen 2.
No. Too early. I assume at one point we'll be watching it on Disney Plus.
I got to tell you, being in the theater and just the theater complex and seeing all of the kids that were there, you're just like, oh my God. All the little princess girls and everything, they're all going to Frozen.
Yeah.
Massive.
It felt like that's all anyone cared about.
Now, why'd you go alone in the middle of the day to see Frozen 2?
I love it.
What was the other movie you saw?
I'm trying to remember.
Oh, no.
We'll just say Frozen 2.
Frozen 2? Yeah.
You don't even remember it?
I know it was Friday. Go ahead.
Okay. Right. Frozen 2 busted the box office. $127 million domestic.
That is very
high. Above expectations. And actually the third best start ever for an animated film behind Incredibles 2 and Finding Dory. Internationally, it did huge too, $223 million. So this movie is going to easily surpass the $1 billion mark. It's going to be one of the many that did this year. Number one in 37 markets. So clearly, audiences were not ready to Let It Go.
Mm-mm. File.
Are we going to have to do a whole file?
By the way, that's,
I think so.
That's like 5 minutes into his
I feel like we're going to have to do a whole file just on Michael, and we're going to have to do it today before he leaves.
It is just 5:50. I know. Okay. I know. Nonetheless, it was a huge win. But in second place, Ford versus Ferrari did pretty well. Sophomore outing, it did about $16 million. In third, it did okay, but I think people were expecting more, and maybe it'll start to have a little bit of a burn. A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood, it got about $13.5 million. Tom Hanks, of course, stars as Fred Rogers, and it's about his relationship with a journalist played by Matthew Reese, and I think we have a clip.
We do. It's also about him and the relationship that he had with his grandpa.
Oh, yeah.
As well.
I get all soapy, you know, soap suds all over me. And then my grandfather would take this hose and go like this with me. He'd squirt all over me until the soap, you know, he'd rinse the suds off.
So you were playing?
Yeah, my grandfather and I did a lot of playing together.
It's different than I thought.
Yeah.
It's rated R, by the way.
Yeah. I will say Hanks, he got the role down. I mean, he sounds just like him.
Yeah.
He has the essence of Mr. Rogers.
Yeah, including that scene, which I think that was actually NC-17, which is maybe why it didn't do as well as people expected.
I did take Adler to see that, though, yeah.
Yeah. Suspense thriller 21 Bridges, starring Chadwick Boseman.
That's the other one I saw.
That was the other one. There you go.
And by the way, Chadwick Boseman now has become, if he's in a movie, I'm going to go see him.
He's a star.
He's
one of those guys.
Yeah, yeah.
Before, he was just a great actor, and now after this one, I'm like, all right, whatever he chooses, I'm in.
Yeah, a must watch.
Yeah.
So, and then round out the top five, war drama Midway, which I know you also saw a couple weeks ago, got about $4.7 million. Rest of the top ten, Playing with Fire, John Cena, doing his own little kindergarten cop. There you go. The Good Liar, Charlie's Angels, which is just a bomb.
Yeah, that's a stinker.
That thing, like, did not do well. Last Christmas, R.I.P. Alley, and Joker. Okay, so, guys, I have a story for you.
Yes.
I thought of you immediately when my colleague Joe Otterson at Variety broke this on Friday. It's just too good. So, Louis Anderson. We love Louis Anderson,
love
right?
Yes, very much so. Friend of the show.
So he may have now found the perfect role.
Oh, no. Is he a cat? Because if so, we have to file that.
So Anderson set to star and executive produce a multi-camera comedy at Fox called Tingsley. It's described as an adult comedy about a family dealing with life, love, the pursuit of happiness, and their obnoxious, insult-hurling, talking cat, played by Louis Anderson. Now, according to an individual close to the show, Anderson will appear on screen in a cat costume rather than lending his voice to a CGI or puppet character.
I'm in.
Wow. So, that's,
I'm already in.
Wow. You're in, right?
I'm in 100%.
That's a choice.
Pretty incredible.
Is he going to dive off of a board into a pool?
The special splash episode.
Cats hate water.
No word on whether he hates Mondays or eats lasagna, but that's definitely high on the list of must-sees.
I love Louis.
So is Michael Jackson uncancelled?
We've had that conversation before, and everybody sort of feels differently about it. Like, I'm okay with it.
Streams are up.
Because he's dead.
Yeah, streams are up. We believe that we've walked these halls and listened to other stations.
Yeah.
We think that no one has stopped playing.
But other people, are troubled enough by his personal life and what they saw on that Finding Neverland show that they don't want to listen to.
Canceled.
Yeah. So
I don't know. I'm still in.
Yeah, well, the producer of Bohemian Rhapsody, Graham King, he struck a deal with the Michael Jackson estate for the pop star's life and music rights. He's going to make a feature film. So screenwriter John Logan from Gladiator, The Aviator, he also did a couple of James Bond movies. Mm-hmm. He's going to write this. It doesn't have a studio attached just yet, and they're saying that it's not going to be sanitized, although they did a deal with the estate.
Yeah, I saw that.
And, you know, it is Bohemian Rhapsody, you could argue, was a pretty sanitized film as well. So nonetheless, they haven't said yet if it's going to include the child sexual abuse allegations or things like that. But you kind of have to, right? If you're,
I mean, I would think so at this point.
You'd assume.
But, you know, Bohemian Rhapsody did very well, as we know, and even got an Oscar for Rami Malek. So,
Barely touched on his sex life and his, you know, what he faced as a gay man. They kind of hid that from Bohemian Rhapsody as well. So I don't think they're going to be tackling the big issues with this one.
So we'll see. But that is in the works. Right. Speaking of MJ, Taylor Swift last night just broke an awards record long held by Michael Jackson, and I doubt He'll be reclaiming that anytime soon. I'll have that in the next hour. That's called a plug.
Oh, no.
Well done.
We're doing it. We have a radio pro. I didn't know that was happening.
Let's move on to some birthdays. Born this day, November 25, Christina Applegate from Dead to Me on Netflix. Joel Kinnaman, currently on Apple TV's For All Mankind. Ben Stein from Win Ben Stein's Money. Tim Armstrong, friend of the show, of Rancid, Operation Ivy, and more, birthday today. And also champion eater Joey Chestnut.
My guy.
Yes,
your guy.
I love him. Okay. It's my guy.
And I'm Mike Schneider, and that is What's Happening.
Well, 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:52. Just after 7 o'clock, we've got great news. First, Ali is out this week. Today, filling in...
Dr. Mike.
We'll get to that.
The senior editor at Variety, Michael Schneider, is here. And we will get to Dr. Mike in the next half hour.
What's up, party people? So, Sunday night were the American Music Awards. Now, did either of you catch any of it?
Nope.
I saw the highlights that were on Instagram.
Well, Taylor Swift, speaking of R.I.P. Bean, was honored as Artist of the Decade, and she won 5 more awards, bringing her grand total overall to 28, which means she now has more AMAs than Michael Jackson, who previously had the record. And I suppose he won't be challenging her for that title anytime soon.
I'm guessing he's done.
But it was the most anticipated appearance of the night just because of the whole controversy surrounding the songs that was she going to perform her old hits or not. You know, because Scooter Braun and Scott Borchetta, Big Machine, there was that controversy where they're going to let her perform it. They finally let her, struck a deal with Dick Clark Productions to actually perform those songs. So she did, and she had a couple of subtle digs at the two, but nothing overt. She mainly was on her good behavior, but she performed some past hits like Love Story, Shake It Off, Blank Space.
Look, I'm not a huge fan of hers by any stretch, but she... Is there any bigger artist in the last 10 years, in the last decade? I mean, I feel like that's probably...
Pretty accurate.
It would be her and Kanye.
A pretty good choice.
Probably be the two that have shifted music.
But he's sort of faded.
Yeah, but I mean, over 10 years. I think you're talking about two people that have really shifted music the most would be them two.
Yeah. I would say Kanye more the first decade, like the 2000s.
Sure.
And maybe Taylor in the 2010s. But, you know, it was a pretty good show, honestly. I mean, you guys made me watch it, so thank you for that.
Boy.
So happy to have somebody else to force to do it.
I would have called in sick if I were him.
I did have homework, so I did watch it all the way through, but you had Ozzy Osbourne with Post Malone and Travis Scott, which actually was...
I thought Ozzy was going to actually burn.
Yeah.
There was so much fire on the stage at that moment.
I still don't know if Ozzy's actually still alive, to tell you the honest truth.
Mm. Like, you think they're Bernie Lomaxing him?
Maybe.
Just propping him up?
He was sitting in a throne, covered in fire, so it was kind of hard to tell. Lizzo had a pretty good strong. Selena Gomez opened the show, little pitchy dog. Mm-hmm. It was a little rough. Halsey and Camila Cabello did 3 songs, so they do love their Camila. But then there was one other performance. Actually, ended the night. Shania Twain. You guys all remember Shania Twain.
Newer country?
Yeah, 90s. I mean, she was massive.
Right?
I think she's like one of the biggest solo acts of all time, really.
Yeah, songs like Still the One and a bunch of others. So they brought her out to kind of do a medley of her hits. But before she launched into a medley of her hits, she made an interesting choice. She opted to do a medley of other people's hits, including Post Malone and Drake and Taylor and 21 Pilots.
Okay, hold on.
I need to make a disclaimer.
People
are going to think we played it in the way that we play fake songs when you say, here's the clip, and then we play a fake clip. That's the clip, right?
Yeah.
And that's not that. Sometimes you'll hear this is just them a cappella where they separate the a cappella from all the music. It's not that either.
This is the raw.
I think this is the first time you guys have actually played an audio clip, like, first time out, legitimately.
It's possible.
Because you can't do a joke clip.
Be a joke clip of the future.
Yeah. You can't beat it, yeah.
that will make a return appearance on the Kevin and Bean Show.
This is not a good.
No.
Again, a little pitchy dog.
Do you think she was feeling... A little bit like she's her time has passed, and so she sort of wanted to update it.
Yeah, hey, kids. How do you do, fellow kids?
Hey, I'm still one of you fellow kids.
Yeah, she was holding a skateboard over her back when she was singing, which was weird.
Exactly. So that was an interesting choice. But yeah, the AMAs, we'll talk more about who won later in the show. Meanwhile, Disney, we talked about how they had an amazing weekend. Frozen 2, huge, huge numbers. You got the Disney Plus, right?
I have it.
Yeah,
I'm deep into it.
Watching the Disney Plus. Mandalorian. Yeah.
Is a big smash.
Haven't started it yet. Good?
It's. I like it.
I like it, too.
Okay. Yeah.
And honestly, the big breakout of Mandalorian is Baby Yoda. I need a Baby Yoda. Have you seen this cute thing?
I have. It's clearly a huge meme.
So people are a little surprised that there aren't toys on the shelves immediately. Like, I want to go out and get a Baby Yoda.
Of course, because it's Disney.
Yeah.
Who's better at merch than Disney?
And I'm not sure there's ever been a Star Wars character other than the Ewok that is so primed to be a toy.
Yeah. But what happened?
As of right now, there are no toys on the shelves.
Possible.
Well, they're saying that Jon Favreau, who is behind the show, wanted to keep the surprise of Baby Yoda out there, so he asked Disney, to hold off on putting toys out there or even manufacturing toys until people got a chance to see the character.
Oh, so it's still they may be already primed and ready
Oh, they have to be rushing now. Yeah.
Yeah, they are rushing now. But nonetheless, my kids wanted a Baby Yoda this weekend. I could not go and find one at Target.
Yeah. This is why you failed.
Yes.
Yeah.
But they are promising that they're claiming by the holidays, which is pretty much now, you are going to start to find some toys within the next couple of days at major retailers like Target and Macy's, etc. T-shirts, a plush toy sometime in the next few weeks. Right now, you can go on eBay, find some janky bootlegs.
I like it. Those are the best.
But the real ones actually won't be out for a couple of weeks. So Disney apparently does not like money anymore.
That's
I think they're doing fine.
They're probably doing all right. Speaking of Baby Yoda, though, they had actually pulled down gifts of Baby Yoda over the weekend. So if you wanted to gif it up with a Baby Yoda,
really?
They had pulled it down. Now they're saying it was a mistake. The gifts are back. So on your social medias today, you can upload a gif of Baby Yoda.
I think without my following.
Yes, she can now. So
that seems difficult. It seems difficult to pull something off the internet now. It seems impossible.
Yeah, unless you're Disney. Unless you got a whole team. Yeah, you got a whole team sitting there all day.
Yeah. Well, they're Disney. They do have a whole team there.
Yeah, that's true.
But if we learned anything, Disney does not like money. And,
no, they love money.
Okay, they do love money.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
November 25, birthdays. Going down the list, Christina Applegate, Joel Kinnaman, Bruno Tanioli, Ben Stein, Tim Armstrong from Rancid, and champion eater Joey Chestnut. And that is what's happening.
The news is very, very depressing.
It's gross,
which is why I don't watch.
Mm-hmm.
Also because
you're a kid.
Because I'm a kid. Mm-hmm. But on every Monday morning, we bring you great news.
When you wake up, all you hear is bad news. So bad it makes you want to hit the snooze. Kevin and Bean can make that go away. It's time for great news.
My great news today is Dr. Mike.
It is great news.
Save it.
No, my great news today comes out of Minnesota. Jonathan Jones is his name. He's a little kid that only saw in black and white.
Oh.
This is a problem that a lot of people have. He was unable to hold back his tears, though, after a gesture from his school principal allowed him to see color for the first time. There are glasses that cost $350 that you can put on and see color.
That's great.
And this happened to a little kid in school in the class, and he actually started crying. And this is some of the audio from that.
Jonathan Jones has been colorblind his whole life, but a teacher changed that this week. While he was teaching a class about colorblindness, Jonathan's teacher decided to buy him a pair of $350 glasses so he could see color for the very first time. And the reaction is just priceless.
They're all yours. So what do you think there?
Oh, he's crying.
That's awesome. Hey, come here. Oh, I'm so happy for you.
Even cooler, his mom was so inspired by the teacher's gesture, she started a GoFundMe page to buy special glasses for other colorblind children.
And I'd just like to bring up again, teachers really don't get paid
No.
$350 to get these glasses for one student is an amazing kind act from this teacher. And then the mom started raising money, and they tried to raise $350, and they're at $28,000.
Oh, yeah. This video was everywhere all weekend, and for good reason.
And for good reason, yeah. And everybody was like, let's donate, let's get behind this. And that's the beautiful thing of people actually just taking care of their fellow brother and sister and friends.
And the internet, man. The internet is a garbage place.
Can be.
And every once in a while, it comes up with something like this, and you're like, man, we should keep this thing around.
Yeah, it's unfortunate this kid turned racist.
No, no. No, it's...
That's the thing, is that everything was fine, and now he's like, oh, God, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
And he's building the wall. He's doing all this terrible stuff.
Yeah.
And that's my great news.
When professional golfer Brandon Matthews found himself in a sudden death playoff in Argentina, it's a very high-profile tournament, he never could have guessed how it would end. The 25-year-old pro was setting up a crucial putt. It was from 8 feet away. If he made the birdie, okay, he would have ended up winning the whole tournament, and also he gets an immediate invitation to the British Open,
wow,
which is massive, yeah, right? So he's going for this putt, and right before he hits the ball, a huge loud yelp came from the gallery, totally distracted him, and he missed the putt, completely losing the tournament. And he was furious. I thought someone had done it intentionally, Matthews told GolfChannel.com. I was frustrated. I was in shock at what happened.
They're very, very, very quiet and respectful at those tournaments. Like, they make sure no one does that.
Yeah, and in the U.S., you see it mostly on the drives, which isn't so much a concentration-based shot, right? Like, you hear the, you know, the Bubba Booey and all those things right when they're going for the first hit, but not the later one. And so immediately the tournament director apologizes to Matthews for the outburst. He was obviously very angry with the situation until it was explained that the noise came from a fan with Down syndrome who could not control his voice at the time. Matthews immediately forgot about the frustrating loss and asked to meet with the fan. And minutes later on Golf Channel, Matthews gave the unidentified man a huge hug, signed a glove for him with a smile, and asked loudly, did you have fun today? Did you have a good time? Matthews explained, I just wanted to make sure he was enjoying himself, that he had no hard feelings, and that he didn't feel bad about what happened. I wanted to make sure he knew I wasn't mad in the end. So Matthews may have missed out on a huge prestigious spot in a golf tour, but he understood that some things are much bigger than golf, right? And also, it gave a completely different twist on a story that, like, sports and the internet and all these things could have taken into a completely different direction.
Right.
And he sort of controlled the narrative and made it about understanding and being able to sort of see other people's views and opinions and the things that they're struggling with. And for that reason, that's my great news!
And in related news, LeBron James farted on a fan this weekend.
That is true. So. That fan was totally fine and deserved the fart, in my opinion.
Well, my great news comes out of Maryland. 8-year-old boy. Now, Kevin, when you were 8.
Yeah, throwing rocks at my neighbor, Robbie Jordan.
There you go.
That's not great news. Mm-hmm.
Well, this
That's
is
my great news.
Okay.
It was. This is a young boy named Tyler Stallings. He was just 4 years old when he felt compelled to help veterans in need. He saw some online videos about veterans, and he saw that there was one video in particular about veterans struggling with homelessness. So this young boy, at first, he wanted to actually go to the hardware store and build houses.
I'm sorry,
for
did you say
veterans.
He was four?
He was four mm-hmm. when he first saw these videos. So he told his mom, I want to go, I want to build these houses. And the mom said, you can't do that, you're four. So instead, he actually contacted the governor of the state, who gave the boy a $100 grant to put to good use. So that single donation ballooned into a mission that Tyler has continued to carry on. He joined the Maryland Center for Veteran Education and Training to become an advocate to help raise money and awareness for homeless veterans and the struggles that veterans face. He came up with an idea for something called Hero Bags, which are packs filled with clothes, bath products, food, and bedding to pass out to homeless veterans. And so since becoming inspired 4 years ago, that $100 initial grant has ballooned to more than $50,000 to help homeless veterans through his donation page.
Wow.
So he's now 8, and his mission continues. So pretty amazing.
That sucks, though, that kid grew up to be a racist. That sucks.
No, that was the other one.
Oh, right.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
No, wait, it wasn't the other one either.
But he farted on a fan,
right,
which I thought was
nope,
very,
yeah,
very odd. But that is my great news.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 20 minutes after
this
7
is
o'clock.
All I care about, Kevin.
Same. Ally McKay is off today, and we have a senior editor at Variety, Michael Snyder, filling in.
Mm-hmm. And I didn't know that we had a radio star. I thought we were like, oh, he's great on the show. He's a friend of the show. Bring him in to fill in for what's happening. I didn't know that we had like a storied legend.
I didn't either until last night. Much to your credit, you sent us a link saying, hey, by the way, you need to listen to my air check as Dr. Mike.
Well, I brought this on myself. This was a joke. This was kind of just to mock myself.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
I didn't realize this was going to turn into an entire break.
Maybe more.
It might be two.
We'll see how it goes. You also brought in some today of you at home, which oddly is what Bean used to do. Is in his own garage, he would like run radio shows and interview people.
I was very Bean-like growing up, to tell you the truth. I was obsessed with radio. I wanted to be a radio DJ. Mm-hmm. I made my own little imaginary radio station. Mm-hmm. I even created drops. I did this all on my little cassette recorder, and was sort of an imaginary DJ as a kid.
So Jensen, what you don't know is that. We have two clips from him in his garage.
Great.
First.
Okay.
And then.
This is the origin story. Mm-hmm. This is like seeing the practice run of Queen in Bohemian Rhapsody. I didn't know. This is where the shades of stardom came from.
Correct.
Okay.
This is Dr. Mike.
Hello. I'm your president, George Bush.
Oh.
Hey, yes. Uncle Georgie. What are you doing up there?
No.
You isolated that clip. Okay.
Oh, no, I didn't isolate it. We're continuing. But I just wanted to stop it and say he's doing voices and back
impersonations. And forth. Yeah, he does the whole conversation.
I was doing the Dana Carvey, George Bush.
Sure.
Okay.
All right. Yeah. Good to know.
Dan, get back, Dan. I am talking.
Hey, what are you doing? Hey. Ah.
You fellas have nothing to worry about.
Oh, a drama.
I'm a professional.
Oh, there's more music coming up, dudes. Stay tuned!
Commercial alert! Commercial alert!
I mean...
I love the drops.
An Alf drop?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
How about that?
I used to watch Alf and Roseanne and record, audio and then take those drops and create my little imaginary radio shows.
That's Z107 FM, right here with the good doctor during a Maximum Music November.
Timely.
Could you hold on for a second? I'll be right back.
What?
Hold.
Live radio, it seems.
Sound effect piece.
Okay. Oh, Michael. The doctor. The good doctor.
That's me walking back.
Okay.
Oh, sorry about that.
Wow.
And then I go into rock with you.
Oh, wow. This man.
Patience with that one, right?
I mean, sit with it.
Yeah. Well, so to be fair, I was 16, and that was comedy.
For the record, thought you were younger. For sure. 16, I'll give you
should have gone with 8.
Okay. You're going,
Yes.
So now tell us about I-94, whatever this is.
Yeah, so this was an actual radio station, a top 40 station in Honolulu, where I lived, went to high school. And they did a thing during the holidays where we're making wishes come true. Mm-hmm. Now, this was mostly, to help people pay their bills or, to do something that was altruistic. Me being a 17-year-old high schooler thinking, I just want to be on the radio, I emailed, or not emailed, because there was no email
you
back
then. Sent a letter.
A
carrier pigeon.
I sent the letter.
Smoke signals.
And I said, I want to be a DJ. Can I come on and guest DJ? And for whatever reason, they said yes.
And what is it? What time are you on?
This was on a Friday evening. I think honestly, the regular jocks just wanted to get out of there or smoke in the back or something. They're like, sure, we'll give you an hour.
Yeah, okay.
Let the kid run. They literally let me run the board, which is insane.
And just to be clear, you're not a doctor.
Good to know.
I just thought that was a cool radio name. Okay. So.
Hey, what's up? It's Dr. Mike here on Hot I-94.
All right, Emma, don't hurt yourself, man. The switch is on to the fresh one, Hot I-94. This is the good doctor, Dr. Mike, with you on a Friday night. Yo, we're giving away over $200,000 in cash prizes and vacations and granting Christmas wishes again Monday with the Morning Luau. Happy holidays from Hot I-94.
All right, I just want to say this.
He ran the post.
I just want to say this. In all honesty, at 17, I hadn't even thought about radio yet.
Mm-hmm.
And my first 3 years he's already past me.
Right.
He's already better than I was.
He's got a vibe.
You found us. We're Hawaii's fresh new music mix, Hot I-94. This is your guest DJ for tonight, Dr. Mike. Want to say hello to all you guys out there from Radford High School and anyone else who wants to make a dedication. Call us right now at 296-94 right now. 94 right now. Here's Surface and The First Time.
And the first time.
I mean, pretty good, man. The way you say fresh, he's like, it's fresh. He's like,
although in the last clip when you said yo, I'm not positive you pulled that off.
No. And you missed, by the way, the part where I was like, hammer, don't hurt yourself.
Oh, I didn't hear that
part.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Excellent.
Timely reference.
All right, Hot I-94 with Hawaii's fresh new music mix. You know, like I told you earlier, the sold out New Kids concert is coming in February, and the stage of stars of 2020, Troop Salt and Pepper, and Stacey Kimiko is coming in January. For more up-to-the-minute concert info, it's Hawaii's fresh Hot I-94.
I mean, I gotta tell you,
it's good. So wait, okay. So like,
because all of us had to start at some point, and we're much worse than that.
So what happens at that point? Do they go, "Oh, this kid's better than we thought," or does it just like the wish and it goes away?
No, the wish kind of went away. Although there were other radio stations where I also got to guest DJ, and I went to college. I did college radio. You know, I've done bits and pieces here and there, but you know, never did fulfill that complete dream of being Kevin Ryder.
Okay.
And by Kevin Ryder, you mean Dr. Mike.
Hawaii's fresh one, Hot I-94. This is a good doctor, Dr. Mike, with you in Surgery Till 11.
In Surgery Till 11! He's playing it up
Surgery
because he's a
till
doctor.
11. He's got the character. Did you wear scrubs and gloves and stuff?
Hawaii's fresh one, Hot I-94. This is a good doctor, Dr. Mike, with you in Surgery Till 11. All weekend long, we're giving away stocking stuffers just in time for Christmas, so keep listening for your chance to call in and win on Hawaii's fresh new music mix, Hot I-94.
I gotta tell you, he's flame throwing right now.
Did people come in and were they like, whoa? Or you just felt like you were in a world by yourself, like no one really cared?
Did they give you any feedback?
I'm not joking
when I say this is good.
Well, like, yeah, if this was a Make-A-Wish kid and they wanted to play for the Yankees, you hit a couple good doubles and maybe one home run, and then they were like, just goodbye, kid?
Did you get any response?
Not really, to tell you the truth. Wow. But Entercom, I am available.
Right.
Hawaii's fresh new music mix, Hot I-94 with Dr. Mike. Okay, this song goes out to Gina over at Pearl Harbor from the good doctor, Dr. Mike.
Okay,
you're giving your own...
Are you positive? do you know how dedications work? Because usually somebody will call and say, oh, I'd like to play a song for my girlfriend.
Exactly. Well, this was my one time on the radio, so I'm giving the shout-outs myself.
Was this a girl you were trying to date?
So, possibly, okay. Yes.
This is a girl you were trying to impress.
This is the most embarrassing.
She was the one, by the way, when I told her I was doing this, she was like, can you play some Stevie B for me? And it happened to be on the sheet, so I was like, hey, I'm playing Stevie B for you.
This dedication.
Boys, fresh new music mix, Hot I-94 with Dr. Mike. Okay, this song goes out to Gina over at Pearl Harbor from the good doctor, Dr. Mike. I got that letter from the postman the other day. Stevie B. On Hot I-94.
Sat on it. Just let it sit.
Oh, listen to that music. Oh, those early 90s
the second
jams.
Worst thing that happened to Pearl Harbor.
Yeah, maybe the first.
Hot I-94, Stevie B. Coming up at 11 o'clock, we got Club I-94. On deck, we got some more fresh new music, so stay by.
This Christmas, do you want to stand it?
All right, by the way, fresh is incredible. The way you say fresh is incredible.
Fresh and hot.
Fresh. Yeah. Now, that's very impressive.
Agreed.
And when he sent us the SoundCloud link yesterday, we listened to it and we were like, that's really great.
Jensen and I were texting back and forth. This is awesome.
What he didn't realize is that SoundCloud account also led to another time he was on the radio under a different character named Brutta Mike.
There was only one other clip under your name. Yeah. You can search in SoundCloud, right?
Yeah.
Searched it, found Brutta Mike.
And when we come back, we will listen to Brutta Mike because it is not as good and also... possibly racist.
Oh, no.
All right. It is 7:34. Senior editor at Variety Magazine at Variety is Michael Schneider. He's filling in for Allie today. And
now I really miss Allie. Right about now.
In the last break, we played some highlights of him being Dr. Mike.
Which was sort of a very impressive radio debut at 17 years old.
Yeah, agreed.
It was awesome. And when he sent the SoundCloud link to us yesterday so that we could go through it, Kevin smartly which I've never said together,
right?
Figured out that there was a way to see other things that he posted, and he also posted under a different radio character that he did around that time called Brudda Mike.
I can't tell you the excitement. It's the only other one that he posted. I can't tell you the excitement when I saw the words Brudda, B-R-U-D-D-A-H,
Mike.
And I'd forgotten that I'd posted this for you to see.
Yes.
But
I was so excited.
Yeah. I love it.
Yeah. So here, now, when was this? This was your CSUN.
Yeah, this was in 2000s. Mm-hmm. So I did a Hawaiian music show for a couple years there at CSUN. I didn't go to CSUN, but they had a radio station there that was community that anyone could come and do a show. And I
said, you're a creep. Yes. You love radio. I mean, I love radio, but you basically pretended to go to college.
I told
there.
You I was being like, no, though anyone from the community could do a radio show.
Really?
And you had a very specific Hawaiian music show?
Yeah, that's how I got the show, was I could do a Hawaiian music show. They wanted to do like sort of arts and roots music.
Did
and
you
so.
Tell them the name Brudda Mike, though?
I did, and they somehow signed off on it.
Okay. Really? Yeah.
I mean, I thought they would have probably stopped at the blackface you wore when you did the show, but sure, absolutely.
Is it racist?
Okay, here we go.
So here's Brudda Mike.
Mele kaliki make.
Stop
everybody.
It. Stop it already.
All right. Wow.
Stop it already.
So to be fair, this was at so I did the midnight to 3 a.m. shift.
Oh, they gave the Hawaiian the show not that good of a shift?
No.
I can't believe it. Yeah.
So it was late at night, and okay. I guess I just wasn't feeling it.
Oh, you were high. No way you were anything but high.
All right, hit it again.
All right.
Mele kaliki make, everybody. It's Brudda Mike.
Wow.
That's my public radio voice.
I love it, man.
I couldn't love it more.
Okay.
And the weather may be frightful outside, but inside we are playing holiday music, island style. That's right. It's time for another holiday edition of Hawaiian Eye.
Oh, my God.
I don't want to say you're taking a huge step backwards.
You're saying
from Dr. Mike.
At 17, I think Dr. Mike was on fire.
Right.
I think this is some crazy level.
Yeah.
This is not as hot.
This is me in my 30s, probably. I've seen stuff. And
I also love like how hot you are, but you're like playing like just hula music. It's like, we're gonna get to fire on this, and it's just like Jason Mraz with a little ukulele. What did you play? Like, what was the music? It was just like,
it was a mix. It was a contemporary Hawaiian.
Right.
It was slack key. It was just sort of and this thing in particular was the holiday episode. So
sure.
This was all holiday Hawaiian music.
All right.
I love you, honey. I love you, baby.
Go, Jimmy, go.
Love, love,
off their CD, Holiday. Hell yeah, Merry Christmas, baby. Brudda Mike, and we're celebrating the holidays right here on Hawaiian Eye. Mahalo for tuning in. Hey, if there's a holiday track you want to hear from the islands, give me a shout right now. 2007, we lost an ambassador of aloha. That's right. The great one.
You forgot his name.
I forgot his name.
You forgot his name.
Person from the States.
I was thinking this because this is me. This is what I do. I just start putting in words.
Kevin related to you.
Because I don't know the name. So this is Brudda Mike not being able to remember who died in 2007.
Yeah.
Which is fantastic. Yeah.
2007, we lost an ambassador of aloha. That's right. The great one.
That guy.
Well,
you know.
What can be said that hasn't been said already?
Maybe his name?
That was very Muggs-like. Wasn't that? That was Muggs-like.
Yeah, so he just finished what can be said that hasn't been said about the great Don Ho. So
right.
Now he's figured out the name.
I couldn't remember Don Ho's name, which
great.
Is crazy.
On the Hawaiian music show.
And now a really, really heartfelt message.
Other than he really, when you thought about Hawaiian music, for better or for worse, you thought of Mr. Don Ho.
By the way,
why did you say for better or worse?
Because probably you're saying because he's like the name everyone uses, and it's commercial.
Yeah. He's the cheesy, like,
right.
You know, if you're really like an aficionado of Hawaiian music, you're like Don Ho. No.
I hope that when
so that was derision in your voice. You're like, whatever with this guy.
I hope when
I'm
die,
Hawaiian.
Someone at my funeral says, you know, he was on the radio, and for better or worse.
And here he is right now doing the classic, of course, of all Hawaiian holiday tracks. Mr. Don Ho, the late, great Don Ho, and Mele Kaliki Maka.
Oh, get it down low and sexy.
So good.
Yeah. Michael, were you wearing kukui nuts and a grass skirt while doing this, or...
If the answer's not yes, I'm upset.
Bugs, I think that's racist.
Oh, see? Says Brudda Man.
Just see what kind of reaction I get. Hey, happy reggae Christmas, everybody. It's Brudda Mike. It's 12:30. It's Hawaiian Eye. Here's Hapa.
Did you,
That's good.
How did you feel saying Brudda Mike? Did that roll off? You're selling it.
It has an island connotation.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. And honestly, like I feel like I had like reached the limit of Dr. Mike.
Dr. Mike had run his course.
Yeah, yeah. If anything, my license had been suspended by the medical board.
I like to think you thought you had a Hall of Fame career as Dr. Mike, and when you this is like I don't want to sully it with this Hawaiian show from 12 to 3.
Brett Mike here. Mahalo for tuning in. It is the special holiday edition of Hawaii and I. We're playing tracks from the islands that remind you a little bit of Christmas of the holidays. And
Christmas of the holidays.
Yeah, we all
remind you also that it's 82 degrees there right now. And the weather outside here in Los Angeles, I would say it's windy. It's been rainy. It's probably about low 40s.
There's ways to tell.
That sounds like my weather reports.
Even then, there's ways to tell. I don't know. I feel like it's in the 40s.
He's in Allie's position, but he's stealing mugs. It's
supposed to dip down to about 39 tonight. So crank up the KCSN, pretend you're in the islands, and let's bundle up together. Back to the music now. Here's Sean Avau, Mele Kalikimaka Iaoi. It's Hawaiian Eye.
Man.
You played that song a lot.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's Hawaii. Mele Kalikimaka. Every song was Mele Kalikimaka.
You played the same song over and over.
Just by different artists.
They only had one popular song.
We're talking about senior editor at Variety, Michael Schneider, who used the name Brudda Mike.
B-R-U-D-D-A-H.
At CSUN.
Chico Pell, Chico Pell, Chico all the way.
A little local Christmas for you. Christmas at my tutu's home, and guaranteed that's the song that's going to be in your head all day, the rest of today or tomorrow. So, Brother Mike apologizes. Brother Mike does apologize for this entire break.
I like that you say it's going to be in your head, you know, all day today. Maybe tomorrow.
It was 3 a.m., so it was like, is it today? Is it tomorrow? I have no idea. For the three people listening.
I can't believe this wasn't during drive time.
That's a song that's going to be in your head all day, the rest of today or tomorrow. So, Brother Mike apologizes.
Yeah. Brother Mike should apologize.
Yeah. Mele Kalikimaka to everyone out there.
Again.
Yeah.
Name the best of LA by Los Angeles Magazine. This is 88.5 FM KCSN.
They didn't know about your show.
KCSN LA Magazine. HD Northridge, Los Angeles. A broadcast service of California State University Northridge since 1963.
By the way, you're starting to bring it now. Brother Mike's coming alive.
He's getting fired.
Top of the hour.
Right at the end.
And streaming on the web at kcsn.org. This is Arts and Roots Radio for Southern California and the world. And Mele Kalikimaka.
You know?
Merry Christmas, everyone.
We're appreciating you. I hope you know that. We're not laughing at you.
You were better than all of us.
Ha'oli makahiki ho.
Right.
It's going to be a long week.
Yep.
Mele Kalikimaka, everybody. It's Brother Mike.
It's Brother Mike.
Oh, yes.
I've never been happier in my life.
I love it. SoundCloud, thank you for allowing us to search other things he's posted.
Allie is out today. Senior editor at Variety, Michael Schneider, is here, and he's filling in with what's happening.
Yes, Brenna Mike here, filling in. Miss you, Allie. Come back soon. Please come back before
Wait, was that
hour.
Painful for you?
No, I enjoyed
Because you
that.
Sent that, us Dr. Mike.
I did send you Dr.
We
Mike.
We then found Brother Mike.
Right. That's on me. That is on me.
Okay, good.
So,
Mele Kalikimaka.
Tis the season. So I thought this hour we'd talk a little bit. You know, I cover TV. Mm-hmm. You've had me in many times talking about television. So thought maybe we'd talk this hour about what to watch this week, what's coming on.
Excellent.
Some
Love
things
it.
To check out. As Jensen always mentions, there's way too much TV.
We need
so
the help, yeah.
There's a couple things that cut through the clutter. Now, not all these things you should actually watch, but I'm just going to warn you that these things are happening.
Okay.
Starting tonight with the Dancing with the Stars finale on ABC. You guys probably haven't been paying attention, but it's down to four people. Country singer Lauren Elena and her partner Gleb.
Which one's the... We love Gleb.
I love is Gleb.
We're rooting for Gleb.
So.
But also, who's the celebrity between Gleb and that woman? Let me know.
Lauren is the country singer.
Okay, thank you.
I think she was on Idol at some point, but it's all about Gleb.
I was going to say, my celeb is Gleb.
Yeah. Then you got Fifth Harmony singer Allie Brooke and her dancer Sasha.
Okay.
Former Bachelorette Hannah Brown and her dancer Alan.
Okay.
And all that's Kel Mitchell and his dancer Whitney. So for what it's worth, Hannah Brown is currently the favorite.
Okay.
So Sean Spicer long out of the mix.
Yes.
So at least that is over with. But
I think I speak for everyone and I say Team Gleb.
Oh, agreed.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Also tonight, Freeform has something called Rap Battle, which
Should be right up Jackson's alley.
I don't know anything about stealing my idea.
Except it's W-R-A-P.
Oh, yes, I do know. No, I do know about this. I do know about this, actually.
Yes, they did.
Yes.
They're looking for the best gift wrapper in America.
It's going to be cute. I think that's
very
fun.
Is it going to be cute?
I think so. I like these shows that take, like, a small craft and make it much bigger. I'm into that.
Yeah, yeah. So, rap battle. Freeform tonight.
There's no way I can stay further away from that.
Okay.
On Tuesday, on Netflix, if you didn't get a chance to see Mike Birbiglia's show, The New One, at the Amundsen here in L.A., which just closed over the weekend, actually, they filmed a version of the special in New York earlier this year, and it premieres on Netflix Tuesday night.
Oh,
it's cool. It's his one-man show. I don't know if you remember his original one-man show, which was all about him sleepwalking.
So good, yeah.
What a problem that was. So in this new show, he has a kid now, but the problem is he still sleepwalks.
Oh, no.
So his comedy routine is sort of all about what he's doing to protect the kid. He sleeps in his own room. He wraps sheets around his hands. He's got sort of a contraption to basically not hurt the infant, which doesn't sound funny.
That's scary.
But yeah, it sounds more scary than funny. But it's Mike Birbiglia. He's a very funny guy.
He's
and
great.
He finds a way to make it really entertaining.
And Sleepwalk With Me was his one-man show, but then he turned it into an actual film based on his experience as a sleepwalker. And that movie's also very, very good.
Yeah, yeah. So definitely check that out. So Allie's not here, but in her spirit, there are 13 new Christmas movies premiering this week.
Wow, we thought we were going to get away from this.
Didn't know you were bringing it to.
Yeah. They're across Hallmark, Lifetime, OWN. Everyone's got originals all week long. But so if that's not enough, Netflix on Thanksgiving has a show called Merry Happy Whatever. It's an 8-episode Christmas-themed family comedy starring Dennis Quaid. Mm-hmm. So it's created by Everybody Loves Raymond writer Tucker Cowley. So it might be interesting.
Yeah.
It might be worth checking out. If you don't want to watch the movies, then maybe this series will work for you. But my pick this week is actually, you guys got the Apple TV?
I have it.
Yeah? Mm-hmm. You've been watching Morning Show? Or
not Morning Show. I watched the Moon one a little.
Yeah, For All Mankind.
For All Mankind. And then I'm hoping to get more into it during the break.
Yeah. And then there's C, which is that crazy Jason Momoa
show right,
which is a bat S.
Mm-hmm. Is that your pick or no?
No, that is not my pick. So my pick is one of the better entries from Apple Plus. It's actually called Servant, and it's from M. Night Shyamalan.
Oh.
So...
Because that's a hit or miss.
Yeah, that's either... Yeah.
Yeah, you can go either way.
Well, this one, I've seen the first four episodes, and so far it's a hit.
All right.
It's classic M. Night, sort of going back to his original movies. It stars Lauren Ambrose and Toby Kebbell. They play a young professional couple in Philadelphia who tragically lose their kid, so they replace it with one of those creepy lifelike dolls.
Oh,
I'm in.
Very good.
I'm in already.
Yes. Those dolls that are like 30 grand, and they feel like a baby.
The real
they look
doll,
like
right
a baby.
Yeah.
So the idea is Lauren Ambrose's character kind of like thinks it's her actual baby.
You know, isn't that creepy?
she goes through the motions, acts like it's her real baby. So they hire a nanny because she's going back to work. So, of course, you need a nanny to look after the baby.
Right.
So the nanny, who is kind of creepy herself, comes to town and she starts treating the baby like it's a real baby as well.
Okay.
So, and then other crazy things start happening in a very M. Night way. So it's Short Order series. It looks pretty good. It's just been renewed for a second season.
Great.
But the best part, Jensen?
Yes.
30 minutes an episode.
Perfect.
Oh, that is great.
Perfect.
Yeah, that is
and
great.
So what happens? When these go up when, or they're up now?
So they'll be up on Thursday.
Okay. And all four go up immediately, or?
So yeah, the first couple go up.
Great.
And then like the other shows, I think they start to roll out every week after
So you
that.
Haven't seen the end of this. The only reason I'm asking this is because M.
We
Night,
know about ends.
M. Night,
yeah,
to me, has a problem landing his movies.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, so we'll see. And they're picking it up for a second season. So there's not really going to be an endpoint anytime soon.
Okay. All right.
But I really like what I've seen so far.
I'm in 100% this weekend. I'm on it.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. And then other things, if you haven't watched Watchmen yet, are you guys up to
speed? Watchmen.
I'm not caught up, but I'm close.
Yeah, I'm one behind, I think.
So those were my other picks for this week. If you haven't caught up on Watchmen, watch Watchmen on HBO. And there's also The Mandalorian over on Disney Plus. So check out those. We mentioned the American Music Awards earlier, and we talked about Taylor Swift, and we also talked about Shania Twain and her very unfortunate cover of 21 Pilots.
I mean, it's not even really a cover.
It's sort of
a throwaway.
It's a yelling.
Yeah, it was a weird sort of medley of popular songs.
Shut I'm giving you a zero for the day.
If you heard that at karaoke, you'd be like, get her off
stage. Stop, stop. Yeah. I need to or have another drink.
Yeah, that's Shania Twain.
So she also sang a Taylor Swift song, and Tay-Tay was there, of course. Mm-hmm. She won Artist of the Year as well as Artist of the Decade. Some other winners from last night, Billie Eilish won New Artist of the Year. Yes. Good on young William Eilish.
How could she not?
Mm-hmm. Collaboration of the Year with Shawn Mendes and Camila Cabello for Senorita. Tour of the Year went to BTS, which was also the favorite duo or group for pop rock.
Mm-hmm.
Favorite song of the year, Halsey, Without Me. In the rap and hip-hop categories, Cardi B won for Favorite Artist,
sure.
And then Post Malone, Favorite Album for Hollywood's Bleeding.
Okay.
Favorite Song, Lil Nas X, featuring Billy Ray Cyrus, Old Town Road.
Be hard to deny that.
Yeah, and then Favorite Artist in Alternative Rock, so our category, Billie Eilish won again.
Yay!
So, she won double. She also performed, was fantastic.
I don't remember anyone having a better year than she's had this
it's
year.
It's rare.
I mean, it's unbelievable.
She has had a fantastic year.
Crazy.
So, Highland Park's own Billie Eilish.
Yep.
Great for her.
Mele Kaliki Maka, everybody. It's Brother Mike.
Brother Mike? Does Brother Mike like her,
Brother
too?
Mike approves.
Okay. That's right.
And then EDM favorite artist was Marshmello.
Okay.
So, that was the AMAs. Looking at birthdays. Born this day, November 25, we got Christina Applegate. From Dead to Me on Netflix.
Great show.
Joel Kinnaman on For All Mankind, the Apple TV show we were just talking about.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Dancing with the Stars finishing up tonight. Bruno
Tamiami. Go Gleb, baby!
Gleb's fan. Win Ben Stein's Money, Ben Stein. Tim Armstrong from Rancid and Operation Ivy, which still love Operation Ivy. Still listen to that album all the time. And then champion eater, Joey Chestnut. I'm Mike Schneider, filling in for Ally McKay, and that's what's happening.
Mele Kaliki Maka, everybody. It's Brother Mike.
It's Kevin DiBiccio. It is 8:05. We've been having a conversation off the air. We were just talking to Michael Schneider about TV shows that are coming out.
Oh, you can call me Brother Mike now.
Brother Mike.
It's okay.
Mike.
We're friends.
Great.
But we've been talking about this behind the scenes a lot in the office because Dave, the King of Mexico, who's our producer, has told us many different times everything he knows, he learned from TV.
Well, not everything, but I learn a lot from TV.
Like?
All right. So let's get into it.
This is a little scary in that TV can be complete fiction.
Yeah. I mean, there is no governing body as to what is said on the television.
So I don't know what's taught in history classes across the nation.
That's
right?
All I need to hear.
Yeah. So there's there's certain things like, you know, one of my favorite shows that I loved was Band of Brothers.
Right.
So I never knew the story of Easy Company and what they did during World War II and, you know, the invasion of Europe and all that. So when I learned about Easy Company, I looked into it and learned a little bit more about them.
That's a real thing.
Yes.
Okay. So that's good that he went and looked it up.
Yeah.
Right. But you don't look at these things at face value because they're fictionalized scripts. At times.
Well, I didn't think that the individual story is what's happening, but it taught me into more, just like the Pacific with the Battle of the Midway and Pearl Harbor, the movie, introduced me to the the Raid of Doolittle.
Oh, so you're saying basic history stuff.
Yeah, but then, you know.
That happens to me, too, in that, like, I saw Midway, and I didn't know what a turning point that was in
exactly.
World War II.
Exactly.
I had no idea.
Yeah, that was a terrible movie, by the way.
I loved it.
A lot of louds.
But, you know, then a show by the name of Timeless came along, and that's where
now,
I was
sorry,
like,
now I'm having some
issues. I'm sorry. I thought you said Timeless.
Timeless.
Okay.
Great show.
We're going to take your calls, 1-800-520-1067. If you learn things from TV, now Timeless.
Yeah, Timeless. Okay. So before the movie Hidden Figures came out, Timeless told me about the three ladies that helped land the Apollo 11.
Oh, okay.
But this is like saying you know about history from Quantum Leap. I mean, that's not a real thing.
Yeah. But that was the thing. And I didn't know that story.
Mm-hmm.
And then I saw that the movie was coming out. But then here's the one that really I was like, whoa, and never it would have never been covered. Did you guys know that the Lone Ranger was based off a black person?
Yes.
Yeah.
Wait, you guys knew that?
Yes.
Yeah. Wikipedia.
I'm not going to look up the Lone Ranger.
It's kind of a trivia. I mean, it's also one of those things you hear, like the stoplight was invented by an African-American. Like, it's one of those things that you hear about, like, that we've kind of whitewashed in history.
Yeah, but I mean, listen, all I know of the Lone Ranger is the stupid Army Hammer movie, right?
Like, right,
that
sure.
was That was terrible. And
maybe
I did not
what
know
we
that.
Should be afraid of is the stuff he hasn't learned from TV.
That's what I'm saying. Because doesn't Johnny Depp play a Native American?
He does. Yeah. I mean, that's scary.
There's a lot of issues.
Tonto, right?
With, or... I've always felt that, like, watching television. And I do. I commend you on the idea that when you see something, you then go research it more.
Yes, yes, that's important.
And that's.
But
that
there
was...
are people who, like, get all of their information from television, from TV shows or movies or whatever, and think that it's fact all the way through. That's the more scary part to me.
And that is scary, and I hope people don't do that. I hope they're like me because I'm awesome, and I know what to do. I know that there's something that, like, that is the basis of a movie or an episode or a TV show, and I go, oh, that's interesting. I want to know the real story.
Okay. Did like, you learn the thing about the windshield wipers from a TV show?
Right.
No, but okay, see, good, I was right dumb. In that the movie, the guy got hooked. So screw the windshield wipers in general. I feel bad for that guy.
What I'm scared about is that I think some people are learning about the Lone Ranger thing right now, thanks to Dave. So
yes!
There's kind of like this inception right now happening.
Yeah.
Dave's our teacher.
Look it up.
I'm shocked that you guys knew that. Did you learn that in school? I did not.
No, like I said, there's like always facts that like we've whitewashed. That's one of them.
It does seem. Yeah, you're totally right. It's like you learned it along the way, but you didn't necessarily learn it in school.
Yeah. Mike?
Well, I have one.
You do.
You know, it's a little more specific than Dave's, I think. But you guys remember Punky Brewster.
Oh, yes.
Right?
Sure.
Go ahead.
And you remember the episode where her friend Sherry was like locked in the refrigerator.
I mean, the biggest episode.
I never knew that those old refrigerators locked from the inside. And that maybe that's not where you want to hide when you're playing hide and go seek.
By the way, a good warning for TV.
Yeah,
like I didn't know as a kid either. And they were playing hide and seek, and she got locked in, and she was gone for like
what
hours.
Do you mean locked in the inside? You mean locked from
the
outside?
You can't open it from the inside,
right?
So
locked from the outside.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Okay. Yeah. She said locked from the inside.
Yeah,
okay.
She couldn't open it.
She couldn't open it from the inside.
Yeah.
And so that was like it was almost like a PSA.
Yeah, because also like they had to perform CPR on her.
Yeah.
So in some ways they also said, "Hey, kids, learn CPR. So help your friend when she's locked in a refrigerator while you're playing hide and go seek."
That's a good one.
One other one was remember. Different Strokes, the episode where Kimberly washes her hair outside and it turns green because of acid rain. So
acid
as a kid,
that
was really the first time that I like was really conscious of pollution and climate and maybe you shouldn't wash your hair outdoors because it'll turn green. Thank you, the late, great Dana Plato for teaching me that.
You still believe that.
I never have washed my hair outdoors.
Okay.
Are you nervous about acid rain still?
You never know.
Dana Plato had other things to be worried about.
Yeah.
this is true.
This is true.
All right, we're going to take your calls coming up. You learned something from TV, and what was it? We'll take your calls 1-800-520-1067. All right, just before Young the Giant, let's take one phone call. Let's make it Bryce in Irvine. Good morning, Bryce.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, thank you. We're talking about things that you learned from TV or movies.
So I recently watched the Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, the new Quentin Tarantino film, and I actually researched the Charles Manson murders and the trials and everything.
Oh, so you ended up actually, you did the right thing, though, as you went back and actually learned all of the actual facts behind the case.
Correct.
Yeah, because the big problem with that movie is that people think he rewrote history for Bruce Lee. A lot of people were like, oh, that's not actually how it went down and stuff. So I guess it's good that you went to read the book and figure out, you know, Helter Skelter and such. But yeah, don't. It's a racist portrayal of Bruce Lee, I hear.
Yeah, and there's an actual stuntman who went on to the old movie set and actually went to go check on the man who actually lived there. So that was something that they got right.
See?
Okay. All right.
Bryce is learning things from television and movies.
1-800-520-1067 is the phone number. What did you learn from TV or movies? We will take your calls right after Young the Giant on K-Rock. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 21 minutes after 8 o'clock. A full recap of week 12 of the NFL coming up in just a few minutes. Right now we are talking about things that you learned from TV or movies. And I was talking during the break, Apollo 11 and Apollo 13 taught me a tremendous amount.
Yeah,
those seem like the right thing. They're very historically correct. Yeah,
and then you go check and you go, oh, wow, this is really accurate. And amazing, like mind-blowing what happened that I wasn't even aware of.
I had a friend, we watched Apollo 13, and when we got out, they said, how did you know how it was going to end?
And you just said, good guess.
Oh, yeah, I'm psychic. Yeah.
You got to go with it. All right, let's start with Ken in Santa Clarita. Good morning, Ken.
Good morning.
So what did you learn from TV or movies?
Well, when I was about 10 years old, I was watching Happy Days.
And Archifon Girelli was having trouble figuring out why he couldn't date women. So he was talking with Richie Cunningham, and one of the things they were talking about was brushing your tongue. And so I was like, really? So after that, I started brushing my tongue. And what I remember about it is the Dental Society had to come out and say, hey, no, that's actually really good because it kills germs in your mouth. So really? I've been doing it ever since 1976.
Wow.
And has it worked for you, Ken?
He's been doing it since 1976.
I get it, but I'm saying, like, is he the new Fonz? I feel like you're the new Fonzie for me.
Well, that's not even close.
All right.
It's just kind of funny that, you know, you do learn stuff from TV.
Hey, listen, next time somebody asks if you're Fonzie, you say yes.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Kick the jukebox for me.
All right. All right, let's go to Jessica in Los Angeles. Good morning. Hello.
Jessica, hello. Nope.
Don't think so.
Moving on.
All right, let's try Rob in Seal Beach. Good morning, Rob.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
We are good. Thank you.
I learned everything I need to know about Scientology and Mormonism from South Park.
All right. Okay. Let me just jump in and say, right. Not ideal.
I would assume the South Park guys have had a very strong opinion on Mormonism for quite some time.
Would you like to hear the South Park guys on Scientology?
Yes. Let's
this hear. Is actually from South Park.
Okay. It all began 75 million years ago. There was a galactic federation of planets, which was ruled over by the evil Lord Zemu. He rounded up countless aliens from all different planets and then had those aliens frozen. The cruisers then took the frozen alien bodies to our planet, Earth. At the dawn of man, the souls finally found bodies which they could grab onto. They attached themselves to all mankind, which still to this day causes all our fears, our confusions, and our problems.
And I will say this, South Park at the time was flashing, this is truly what they believe.
Right.
Like, that was real.
Because it does sound like they're just making it up.
It sounds crazy, but they were flashing. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Rob,
yeah.
They were flashing the words like, hey, by the way, we're not making this up. It sounds crazy. This is what they believe.
Yeah, and if you watch the Leah Remini show, they talk about it, and it's all right on. And for Mormonism, let me read this really great book. It probably doesn't apply to you, Kevin. called Under the Banner of Heaven, and it was fascinating because it was almost identical to what they're talking about in that show. So.
Are there a lot of pictures in the book?
There's a couple. Okay. There might be some puzzles and things that I might
Yeah, that's not good for me then.
But it shows you, if you're a parent and your kids want to watch South Park, you could learn something from it.
I'm not positive that's the choice you want to make.
Drop out of school, watch South Park.
Kyle in Los Angeles, good morning.
Hey, how's it going? Good morning.
Good
morning.
Thank you.
So, I'm a Japanese American, and I didn't know anything about my own culture growing up.
Mm-hmm.
When The Last Samurai came out, I knew it didn't end like that, but it kind of forced me to kind of, you know, jump on the internet, figure a little bit more out about my culture, you know, what happened with like my ancestors.
Wow. See, that's good. It seems
that
like
is
people,
good.
The better way of putting it is it seems like it motivates people to go learn more from TV and movies. Maybe if you're not just like immediately.
Kind of gets them interested.
Yeah. Like people seem to understand things are the dramatized version.
Our fear with Dave is that he learned whatever he learned from the TV show and just took it as fact.
Yeah.
And see, did no research.
I thought we were going to have callers saying, I watched Dexter.
Right.
And
I know now how to murder people.
Yeah.
I thought that.
Thank you for the call, Kyle. Let's take one more phone call and make it Sabrina in Woodland Hills. Good morning, Sabrina.
Good morning. How has nobody commented about kindness from Mr. Rogers and eating cookies from the Cookie Monster and numbers and letters from Sesame Street?
I mean,
those are all true.
Technically, you're right. And those are actually shows meant to teach you.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I also learned from that show not to stay away from anyone named Mr. McFeely.
Oh, I loved McFeely.
His name was McFeely.
Yeah. I mean, come on.
I mean, listen, he's a good dude.
Sabrina, Mr. McFeely?
I'm going to go with Bert and Ernie.
All right. I get it.
Better choice.
That's a better choice, yeah. How about Jen and Cody?
Jen and Cody go together like sports and trophies. This I tell you, brother, you can't have one without the other. Sports!
It's just part of the normal nomenclature now.
We deserve this. We deserve this fate. This whole room.
We've normalized it.
Welcome back to talk about the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
Let's start with last night's game, if you don't mind. The 49ers destroyed Green Bay.
Absolutely.
Destroyed them.
Yeah.
Who saw that coming?
Well, Packers are 0-2 in California this year. Think about that.
But they're both terrible losses.
Yes. Against the Chargers.
But we thought,
and the
49ers. I did think it was going to be more.
In California.
I thought it would be more two powerhouse teams, and it was one powerhouse team.
It was one powerhouse team with a defense that made Aaron Rodgers look anemic.
Yeah, the
it
Packers just couldn't establish the run last night, and he admitted that they were just terrible on third down.
And is this a sign of what's to come?
For
49ers, is it the idea is they were tested in a real way? Mm-hmm. You assume. I mean, I don't know. The team Green Bay was good till this game.
I feel like the Packers, for as good as they look on paper, have not looked as consistent as we expect them to.
Oh, I agree.
That's the one thing that I think
all over the place.
I think I've felt that way about the Packers, and I've also felt that way about the Patriots. I feel like Tom Brady has been very exposed this year, and so I feel like San Francisco is just that dominant, but we're also starting to see the backslide of some of the quarterbacks that we've all come to expect in the league to perform.
That's kind of the overall theme of the season. Yeah. Really.
And you're seeing this young group of quarterbacks just kind of emerge from it, you know, like the Lamar Jackson. Exactly. Yeah. The Lamar Jacksons, the Pat Mahomes, which if he can just stay healthy for the love of God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think the Packers are really kind of showing that they don't really have a stronghold on the North this year. The Vikings, who I also feel are just as shaky as the Packers are, I think they're a better team than the Packers.
Really well.
I think they're going to end up taking the North.
The other thing, too, is never count out Aaron Rodgers, especially this season, because sometimes he'll come back and it's like a 4 or 5 touchdown game.
Yes, but then you see him last night and he really looked bad.
Yeah, he's been off and on. But there has been shades of Aaron Rodgers MVP this season.
Yes, there have
been. Yeah, because when you look at it, you're like, if you had to run a 2-minute drill, what quarterback in the league would you want doing it?
Yeah,
and most of us would say Aaron Rodgers or Tom Brady. That's what it comes down to.
Drew Brees.
Yeah, I mean,
and
any of the
Cody's
three.
High this morning.
He's high because he had to smoke because he the Raiders. Let's talk about the Raiders. What happened?
He came in last week so confident.
Oh yeah, he was.
It was like kind of depressing
to
watch his team.
Jets.
What?
It's the Jets. They're supposed to beat the Jets.
That's my point.
This was a trap game. This was a full-on trap game.
It looked like it, yeah.
And for the record, it was in bad weather.
Okay.
It was in New York.
Right.
The Raiders are not good. I mean, I come in here pretty excited about it, them winning games, but they're not good.
Expected them at the beginning of the season to win two games?
Maybe two or three games.
But they did have 3 games in a row there before they would end up facing KC. They had 3 games that looked like they could just walk through them.
Yes. This was the last of the 3 games that should have put them, honestly, in first place.
Yeah.
They should be tied with Kansas City right now, or at least holding a solo shot of that
wild card
game. Mm. And let's just say the Raiders going to Raiders sometime, man.
Yeah.
It was bound to happen, but I didn't think it was going to be a 31-point loss.
I mean, it's weird to see any NFL team get blown out like that, because all teams are basically not even,
especially
but close.
Like this late in the season. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, everybody sort of has worked out their deal, and they know what they're doing, and they're all at least good.
Most
the thing that Cody has going for him, though, is that What do they have
next
as their competition?
Season?
No, that too. I can't wait to see his mentions, by the way, when we leave the show. There's always a couple of Charger fans that just ride him so hard.
I'm not sure the Chargers fans need to be riding anyone.
Do you have any hope?
No.
Because they're still technically in playoff contention.
Oh, yeah, they're in playoff contention, but they've always been in playoff contention all year in that. Like, you're in playoff contention right now.
I mean, I'm always there.
Like, the Raiders are not going to make the playoffs. If they make the playoffs, it's a miracle. They're not going to beat the Chiefs this weekend.
Right.
Their only shot was to get that second wild card, and I don't think they're going to get it.
Okay.
I think they're going to fall off. They're going to lose this week. They got a couple more games they could possibly win. They could feasibly almost get the double digits.
The Steelers right now, though, and look how they played.
The Steelers aren't going to get that spot either. I think it's going to be anyone else. I think it's going to be the Titans are going to take that second
wild
card spot. Yeah, they're right in the hunt. They've been playing so good for these last 3 weeks.
Is it tighter, or does it just feel tighter to me right now? Like, there's so many teams that are right there.
I think it's more that the AFC is not very good. The AFC, you got 2 teams that are just going to win. Ravens are going to win the Super Bowl.
Yeah, they're going to win.
They're the best team in the NFL.
Yeah.
And then everyone is just kind of landlocked at 500.
Yeah.
With the exception of the Patriots and the Ravens. And then you go over to the NFC and you just got, you know, 4 teams that all have almost 10 wins.
Mm-hmm.
It's 2 different leagues right now.
I'm also watching the slow race of the New Orleans Saints. Better than they should be. They look like people take them for granted. I think that's also a team you could watch.
Yeah, Bridgewater kept them in. I think we were all like, well, if they can just stay 500, you know, while Breeze got better. And instead, I think they surpassed our expectations.
Oh, yeah, overplayed.
And if their defense can get healthy, they're going to be tough to beat in the playoffs.
I agree.
They're really good.
I just hope you still have hope next week for the Raiders. I just want to see it. I want to see it slowly degrade week by week.
You knew this was coming. You knew this depression was coming.
This is the first thing Cody said this year was, I do not expect anything from the Raiders.
But then watching him get that false hope was really nice.
Hope is painful. Hope is painful. That's what I've learned as a Cardinals fan.
And it seems as if people, like the NFL at least, is super irritated with the Raiders, too,
as if
you needed another hater.
No, it's so great. The owners are actually the reason why the Rams came back here. Especially Jerry Jones was a big part of this. Jerry Jones pushed really hard to get the Rams back here because he really didn't want the Raiders back here because he was so afraid that their market share would just be huge. Mm-hmm. And it happened anyways. The Rams came here and still, like, the NFL owners are mad because the Raiders are moving to Vegas, which is 300 miles away, and they've completely siphoned off the LA market. Most people who live in LA are transplant people, so they're not there's more Patriot fans here than there are Ram fans.
And that's evident every single week, and there's a home game here. But also, it's not a home game.
Yeah, agreed. But also, there have always been Raiders fans here.
Yes.
Always. Hardcore Raider fans.
They walk among us.
You won't even know who they are. Yeah.
It's just an army of undercover juggalos.
Right. It is the closest to juggalos that sports have.
It is.
How do magnets work?
Let's talk LA Rams and Baltimore Ravens tonight.
Oh, they've been trying to prepare for Lamar Jackson by using John Wolford. And I don't know if you know Wolford. He was at Wake Forest, AAF.
Is it possible to...
You can't prepare for Lamar Jackson.
You can't, right?
Because, like, he's back there trying to replicate what Lamar does, and he doesn't have his speed. And it's like, you can run all the routes and do the same thing that he does, but you can't replicate his speed.
Yeah,
and
his
the
speed
way
and his moves and stuff are
unreal.
Just mind-blowing, yeah. So do you think the Rams have a chance?
I would
Because I really sort of don't.
I'd put it right around a 0%. It's not because the Rams are bad. The Rams are underplaying this year, and we know their offense has plenty of difficulties, especially if Gurley is banged up even remotely.
Yeah. Right.
It's not so much about the Rams. This is just this Ravens team is that good.
And Lamar's just that dangerous. You know, like, you can prepare for a quote-unquote running quarterback, but preparing for a running quarterback with a guy that can move a little versus preparing for the guy that can make a 45-yard run are completely different
things. Two different things. And also, weirdly, I looked it up. It's only 3.5 points. They're only favored by 3.5 points.
I'm blown away by that.
Me too. Wow. I couldn't believe it. So
that's crazy.
30 points.
That's adorable.
Well, thank you guys for coming in. We always appreciate it on Mondays. Swings and Misses is the name of the podcast. You can look for it at radio.com. Just type in Swings. And thank you for coming in. We appreciate
it. Thank you for having us.
Thank you so much.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:53. We're going to check in with Eddie Ift again after the top of the hour, who did make it 26 miles.
No, 68.
68.
68 miles.
Were you just like naturally?
Dave just said 8.6. That's
eight,
how
six.
He says numbers.
Yeah, I mean, are you?
And that's wrong too, by the way.
It's 68 miles, you weirdo.
No, no. Right.
68.
Yeah,
68.
There you go.
In 24 hours.
Listen, he ran a while.
All of it's impressive.
It is impressive, yeah. And most of the people that were going with him fell off, and he was pretty much the only one that finished.
Yeah, I think we started with 11 guys, ended with 5.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Finished in 19 hours and 51 minutes.
And he wasn't mauled by a mountain lion?
No, that we know of. I guess we'll find out. We talk to him soon.
We'll find out. The senior editor of Variety is Michael Snyder. He is in for Ali today with What's Happening.
Yeah, so it is Monday. We're talking box office. Frozen 2. This thing was a monster. I think everyone with a kid actually took to see it this weekend. Destiny, you have a kid, right?
No. Destiny does not have a child.
Okay.
Destiny does not have a child.
All right. I've just heard about this child.
She was shaking her head, no, like scared, like what?
Destiny's Wait. Also telling, she's putting, she's saying to shh. She's putting, yeah. like, so maybe she does and she just hasn't told us?
No Frozen idea. 2 made $127 million domestically at the box office. It did another $223 million. Internationally, so this thing is on the way to make $1 billion, kids, because Disney needs more money.
That's in a weekend.
Yeah, that was just one weekend.
Crazy.
So it's just beginning. But I guess the sequel really resonated with the kids and adults of all ages. So that did well.
Are reviews good for it as well?
I think pretty good, actually, from what I've seen. And I saw the movie. I enjoyed the first one. The second one, I think you're going to have to watch a couple times for the music to be as catchy as the first version.
But if you have kids, you will see it many times.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. You, especially in that sweet spot age.
Yep.
So number two at the box office is actually another Disney movie, because, again, they dominate everything that we talk about. Ford versus Ferrari, which did $16 million. And then that was followed in third place by A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood. Yes, once again, Mr. Rogers, the story of him and a reporter and their friendship and, well, yeah, I think...
some would say love.
You have a clip.
But I get all soapy. From the movie. Soap suds all over me. And then my grandfather would take this hose and go like this with me. He'd squirt all over me until the soap, you know, he'd rinse the suds off.
So you were playing?
Yeah, my grandfather and I did a lot of playing together.
Okay.
Yeah. Hanks really has it down.
He's got it. Yeah,
I don't think it did as well as people expected.
It's an underperform. Yeah, right?
It was only showing in the theaters with sticky floors.
Oh,
I think.
God.
Wow.
So,
wow.
Mille Kaliki Maka.
Wow, boy.
I'm unhappy with Brother Mike.
We got to try to get Dr. Mike back.
This went south. Yeah, that was Brother Mike. Okay. Dr. Mike is a much more friendly. He was here earlier this morning.
Good.
Fourth place, 21 Bridges, starring Chadwick Boseman, did $9.2 million.
Which was great.
Yeah.
You saw it?
Yeah, it was really good.
Okay. And you also saw the number five movie Midway, which got another $4.7 million.
That's good as well.
Rounding out the top 10, Playing with Fire, John Cena.
I'll do it.
Oh, sorry.
I'll do it. I mean, I don't know if John wants his sixth place finish. Considering with his song, but okay.
Yeah. The Good Liar after that, Helen Mirren and Ian McKellen. I guess Mirren and McKellen in it. Charlie's Angels after that, Last Christmas, and Joker.
Okay.
All right, so guys, Fartgate 2020.
Yeah, what's this?
So apparently LeBron James, TMZ said, calls them King of Farts. LeBron was in Oklahoma City along with Chris Paul. They were leaving the Mahogany Prime Steakhouse one day before the Lakers played the Thunder. Mm-hmm. When a couple of young fans came by, they shouted to the NBA superstars. They were hoping to get an autograph. So LeBron, wearing sweatpants, stopped, lifted his left leg, and blasted out some toots. I think we have a clip.
Good luck tomorrow at the game, guys.
Go Zaire.
We're big fans.
Bronny James.
If you're a kid, like, that's the greatest thing ever.
Yeah, because the kids clearly knew what it was because they like laugh it off. So this isn't like a hidden. Like we talked about Fartgate the other day with the political show. Chris Matthews, was it, or who was it that was on that? Anyway, this was clearly a fart.
Yeah.
And it appears that he picked up his leg and faced it towards the kids.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is the right move.
That's better than an autograph.
Yeah.
Agree.
To me.
Good luck tomorrow at the game, guys.
Go Zaire.
We're big fans.
Bronny James.
Do you think those kids were just like they didn't wash after that?
I'd like to see Michael Jordan do that. You know what I mean? Like, he's the GOAT. If he's the only one who could fart on command, that's LeBron.
Well, I think that was his fragrance, right?
Oh yeah, that's right. The Jordan.
Ooh, de Jordan.
Yeah, if perfume was technically his farts.
So Louis Anderson, I mentioned this earlier today. He may have found the perfect role.
Here comes.
Sorry.
He doubled down.
So according to Variety, we broke this news on Friday, my colleague Joe Otterson, that Louis is actually starring in a new sitcom that's in development at Fox. It's called Tipsley. It's described as an adult comedy about a family dealing with love, the pursuit of happiness, and their obnoxious, insult-hurling, talking cat. Played by Louis Anderson, who will actually show up in a cat costume.
Sure.
No CGI. This is Louis wearing a cat costume.
Love it.
So,
now, what was your pun?
The perfect role.
Would you like to take that right?
I mean, no, you got to wait. You got to wait.
I don't think we're going to have time. There's too many.
I don't want to hear the answer yet.
I think we have to do it as we go.
Yeah, okay. We'll save that for another day. All right, birthday time, November 25. These are folks who were born today. Christina Applegate from Dead to Me. Joel Kinnaman from Apple's For All Mankind. Dancing with the Stars, Bruno Tanioli. Win Benstein's Ben Stein. Tim Rancid. Tim Rancid. Tim Apple.
Tim Apple, yeah.
Yeah, Tim Armstrong from Rancid and Operation Ivy and the Transplants, and champion eater Joey Chestnut. I'm Mike Schneider, or Brenna Mike, filling in for Ally McKay, and that's what's happening.
It is 9:38, and filling in all day for Ally McKay has the senior editor at Variety, Michael Schneider. Mm-hmm. You've been doing a great job.
Oh, thank you. It's been a pleasure.
Dr. Mike.
Brenna Mike as well.
Brenna Mike.
Yeah, yeah. before we go to... what's happening for this final hour? We actually have something to give away.
Oh, Mele Kalikimaka.
This is my Mele Kalikimaka present to all of you. We've got a 4-pack of tickets to LA Kings Holiday Ice presented by Coca-Cola at LA Live, plus a 4-pack of tickets to the LA Kings game on January 6th, where maybe you'll see Kevin Ryder there on the sidelines. So the LA Kings Holiday Ice Rink opens this weekend in downtown Los Angeles at LA Live. For more info on pricing and hours, visit lakingsholidayice.com. So let's say caller number 20 right now. At 1-800-520-1067.
Very good.
I just realized, do I know the number?
No, it's very good.
Yes, I do. Thank you.
Please call now.
Yes, Betty White. So, American Music Awards were last night. I know you saw some clips. I watched the whole show for you guys.
Thank you for us. That was nice.
You know,
falling on the sword.
I do my homework. So, Taylor Swift, of course, was honored as Artist of the Decade and won 5 competitive awards, bringing her grand total to 28, which is now more than anyone else in the history of the AMAs, beating out Michael Jackson, who previously had the record at 24. But the big news was whether or not Taylor was going to be able to perform some of her classic hits.
And explain why.
Because, you know, Big Machine, which is the company owned by Scooter Braun and Scott Borchetta, now own the rights to those songs. And for a while, it looked like they weren't going to let her perform those songs. They said it was a misunderstanding. They worked out a deal with the producers. She was indeed able to write those songs. Matter of fact, Scooter Braun was complaining the other day that he was getting death threats because he wasn't letting her do these
songs.
Because
there's a bit of a history between the two. Taylor Swift believes that Scooter Braun basically has hurt her career in the past, that he went out of his way to purchase it as a spite move.
I mean, legally, it does seem like it should be her music.
Yeah,
but she doesn't own it.
It is always weird when someone else owns music of someone that doesn't, like, they don't want them to own it. That's a weird feeling.
So Taylor didn't really say much about it, but she did open her performance by singing a brief portion of her song, The Man, in which she talked about how she would be more successful if she had been a man. So that was seen as a veiled reference to Scooter Braun and Scott Borchetta. But the show otherwise was pretty interesting. You had some, you know, Lizzo was there, Selena Gomez, who was a bit pitchy at her start. Camila Cabello did a couple songs, Halsey. And then there was Ozzy Osbourne with Post Malone and Travis Scott. But the show
did
ended.
Did they set Ozzy on fire?
It looked like it.
It looked like Ozzy was on fire.
He was in a throne of fire.
Okay.
And I think he's okay.
All right.
I don't know.
Fatality.
I mean, honestly, if anybody could survive it, it would be Ozzy.
Yes.
I feel like there's a chance he hasn't been around for 7 years.
And they've just been walking his corpse around?
Yeah.
It's very possible.
It could be reanimated.
No one would know.
Yeah. So, but he was there. But the performance of the night, we saved it for the end, apparently. So you remember Shania Twain?
Yes.
Like new country, 1990s,
2000s? She was massive in the 90s.
Yeah.
She was huge. She's kind of been off the radar for the past couple of years.
I know she did Vegas a little bit, some residency stuff, and that's really it.
So this was, I think, her big comeback. She came out, she played a bunch of her hits, a medley of her hits. But before she did that, she did a medley of some newer songs, you know, songs like Rockstar by Post Malone, and she did God's Plan by Drake, and then she also strummed a few lines of 21 Pilots.
Zero for effort. Zero for style.
Not good, yeah.
Zero for star quality. Mm. And you know what? I'm being generous.
I have another song she did.
Oh, good.
Yeah, I heard it. It's not the same.
She's losing a step.
I don't remember her from that.
Covering Yoko Ono was a choice as well.
She's also just like screaming. It's not
So we'll see how that goes. But yeah, so that was the AMAs. Also in the news, we talked about Disney. They're having a great weekend because number one at the box office was Frozen 2, which did huge. But on Disney Plus, the new service, The Mandalorian has been making some headlines. So you guys have been watching Mandalorian
watched
first couple episodes?
Yeah, watched a little bit.
I know you love it, Jensen, because every episode's been pretty short. Like, the first was 40 minutes, the second was only 30 minutes.
They've been trying to keep it very comedy, very almost sitcom-y based, yeah. At least feeling-wise, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So this is very much in your wheelhouse.
Yes.
Baby Yoda is a thing.
That's a thing.
And that seems like it's everyone's wheelhouse.
Yeah. Baby Yoda, the cutest thing on TV. I watched it with my kids the first weekend. They're like, Dad, we got to go to Target. We got to get one of those. Mm-hmm. They're not in stores. This is a rare, sort of unusual situation where Disney did not have toys ready.
This is why you fail.
Yeah.
I can't believe they wouldn't have seen a picture of this baby Yoda and not immediately thought of the 7,000 different items it creates.
There has to be another reason. There's no way they would just miss that.
Well, the reason that they're giving is that Jon Favreau, who's behind the show, didn't want to surprise people. Or he did. I'm sorry. He did want to surprise people. He didn't want it out. And sometimes if you start to manufacture toys, it leaks out.
Oh,
photos.
Mm. Like all the Apple stuff that they're planning for next year, all that kind of stuff, so, somehow makes its way out.
Exactly. Yeah. So he wanted it to be a complete surprise. So as a result, they didn't start manufacturing toys until now. I don't know how much I believe of that because Disney does love money,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
From what we understand. Mm-hmm. But nonetheless, they are now saying that these toys are going to be available for the holidays. They're not in stores at the moment, but in the next few weeks, they're going to start to roll out at places like Target. Yeah, cash is coming. Mm-hmm. You'll be able to buy plush toys, T-shirts, the whole works. You can pre-order the toys even now, and hopefully they'll be in a couple of weeks so your kids will actually have them under the tree come Christmas time. But
what are they calling this character? Because I know that's a big thing. It's not actually Baby Yoda. Yeah.
Right now they're just calling it the Child.
Hmm.
So we don't know a lot about the character, and I think that's part of the allure. You know, there was a question, is it the reincarnated Yoda?
Yeah.
Is it the spawn of Yoda? It's a 50-year-old character, but, you know, that species ages very slowly, which is why the, you know, Yoda as we knew it was, what, 900
yeah.
years or something?
Yeah.
So
So Baby Yoda is like 150?
Baby Yoda is 50 right now.
Yeah.
So he really is 50.
Whoa.
So we'll see those toys in a couple weeks. You can buy a janky Yoda on eBay right
That's
now.
That's my favorite,
great.
Janky Yoda.
But nonetheless, we also, Walking Dead. You guys still watch Walking Dead?
You know what? I'm off.
I've tapped out.
I sort of tapped out as well.
Yeah.
You?
Yeah.
You still watch?
I dip in and out. I don't watch it every week anymore because I kind of feel like you can now dip in, watch an episode, and then go away for a couple
it's
weeks and
sort
then come
of
back.
Same stuff, yeah.
So, but nonetheless, they still see it as a franchise, and AMC is going to do a third series. They just announced the title to the third spinoff. It's called The Walking Dead World Beyond. And it's going to be a little different because it's about characters that haven't really had to face the zombie apocalypse because they've been sort of holed up and they haven't had to learn how to kill or do some of the things that the characters in the other shows have done.
Basically, restarting.
Yeah. So the idea is something happens that forces these newbies outdoors, and now they're going to have to learn how to combat the zombies. They just announced Julia Ormond has joined the cast. She'll play a character called Elizabeth, described as the charismatic leader of a large, sophisticated and formidable force. It's set to debut in the spring, so we shall see.
All right.
Yeah. So
it's not realistic. It's just not realistic.
I'm looking at the official Baby Yoda shirts.
Yes.
They have went live on like a Hot Topic and Box Lunch sites.
Mm-hmm.
And I guarantee you they didn't have merchandise ready.
Because it's just like it's thrown together?
It's literally like a photo.
Yeah.
On a white T-shirt. It's just like pressed on it. They dropped the ball.
Yeah, yeah. So I guess we'll start to see those in a couple of weeks. Finally, this weekend was Kanye West's opera, mm-hmm. his Nebuchadnezzar. So, Jensen, what's...
Hallelujah.
There we go.
It's an opera, yes?
Yeah, so it's called Nebuchadnezzar, a Kanye West opera.
Mm-hmm.
Reviews are definitely mixed. I think I saw the LA Times call it a Nebuchadnezzar.
All right, they got him good.
So apparently it's based on the biblical tale of the Babylonian king from the Book of Daniel, and, mm-hmm. and Kanye came out and he emceed part of it. But the LA Times report said if this thing had a story, it was pretty hard to tell. It seemed slapped together in a hurry. It was 2 hours late.
Oh, boy.
It didn't start for 2 hours.
Oh, no.
They also said it's got almost a Waiting for Guffman vibe, where Kanye seemed to be frustratingly directing cast members who didn't quite appear to know where they were going
or what they were doing.
So,
I love it.
No, this sounds like a disaster.
Oh, now I want to see
it. You kind of want to go, right?
I didn't know. Is that bad?
I don't know if they're going to do it again, but Nebuchadnezzar getting some mixed reviews. Of course, the diehards mm-hmm. still love it. They're
still wearing his shoes, still...
Sure.
So pretending he didn't say he's a Trumper, sure.
The Kanye apologist, so yeah. I guess so. Birthdays, November 25, born today, Christina Applegate, Joel Kinnaman, Tim Armstrong from Rancid, Ben Stein from Win Ben Stein's Money, and champion eater Joey Chestnut. Mm-hmm. I'm Mike Schneider, or Brother Mike, or Dr. Mike, filling in for Ally McKay, and thank you so much, all of you. I had a blast. Love you guys, and that's What's Happening.
Mike, as you know, is the senior editor for Variety. You can follow him at Franklin Avenue.
Mele Kaliki Make. To all.
Mm-hmm. 5 p.m. commercial free hour. Tomorrow morning on All New Kevin and Bean Show, we have Brad Williams.
Yes, he's going to be filling in for Ally. Yeah.
We have comedian Jay Moore joining us as well, and your Thanksgiving nightmares as well tomorrow.